If you have your Bibles tonight, you can turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to begin looking in verse 36 in a moment. I don't know about you and your household, but we are pretty traditional in the way that we do things around my house. I know as time has changed, people have started putting up Christmas decorations earlier and earlier, and I'm pretty sure some people just never take them down. But in our house, we don't put them up until right at Thanksgiving. Now, we started putting some, let me be clear, Janice started putting some out because I am Captain No Help. But Janice started putting some things out this year a little earlier, maybe a couple of weeks before, but mainly the biggest part of the stuff we don't start doing until Thanksgiving Day. Sometime that afternoon, it's my job to get the tree, to set the tree up, to get it ready, and then Janice puts all the ornaments on it. The reality is I could put ornaments on them, but then she'd have to come back and fix them because I would have them facing the wrong direction. So she would have to straighten out what I would do. But we like I said, we kind of handle that traditionally in the way that when we set up and all that. Janice also does almost all of the wrapping of presents. And there's a reason to that because she does a good job of that. You see, she actually cares which direction the paper goes. Just being honest here, the bow is appropriately placed, any tags are not covering, you know, all the pictures are supposed to look right, however the paper's done. For me, I just get it on the box, you know. I'm sort of economical in that, Doc. I just sort of look at the box and try to get the right shape of paper. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, things could be going all sorts of different directions. It doesn't matter. I just want to use the least amount of paper possible on that box. So I'm not great at that sort of thing, but I do use copious amounts of tape. So I like to make sure it's a little bit of a work to get into it, or you have to tear everything. But after all that, every year, Janice is not one of those who waits the last minute to wrap presents either. Now, I don't know, I'm not mocking anyone in here. If you do that, if you wait till that one day where you're going to wrap everything and there's going to be an explosion of wrapping paper and all that kind of stuff, and you're going to get it all done, she does it along the way so that those last days leading up to Christmas, for the most part, everything is under the tree, or in our case, under the tree, next to the door, in front of the entertainment center, on the other side of the room, because we sort of don't have a big area around the tree, so it kind of fills up all over the place. And one of the things she's always careful about is to make sure that the kids get about the same number of presents. Okay, because they're counting. She got 17, I have 15. What's wrong with this picture? But all of it's done with great love and care. So as we gather this Christmas Eve, I feel like we've made preparations for Christmas. I hate to break the news to you, but if you have not done your Christmas shopping, you are pretty well out of time. Pretty much everybody's going to be closed by the time we get out of this service. There may be a couple of places open, so you know, if your idea of Christmas for somebody is running down to the BP and getting them something really nice there, you know, okay, maybe they need a new charger for their phone. I don't know. But seriously, we work to prepare for this special day, and we lose sight of the fact that there are far more important things awaiting us, and there's a far more important day yet to come. Christ did come as a baby the first time. The Word of God, based upon the prophecy in the Word of God, he came as a lamb for slaughter. But based on the authority of the Word of God, the prophecy very clearly stated in the Word of God, he is coming back as the Lion of Judah. He will return again. And we need not lose sight of that. And I pray for everyone here that he is not just a baby in a manger, but he is the victorious King for us all. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is coming back whether we're ready or not, and I want to give you every opportunity to be ready. So let's take a look at what the Word of God has to say. First of all, I want you to see that we don't know when he will return. We don't know when he will return. In Matthew 24, we find this, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, be on alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert, and he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think that he will. Now in this text, Jesus tells us that no one knows the day or the hour of his return except for the Father. Now if you go back and you read this entire chapter that's referred to as the Olivet Discourse, you'll find that Jesus has been asked by the disciples, how will we know when you're coming back? How will we know and anticipate your return? What you'll find in those verses that precede is that there are some indications that Jesus gives to them. He says, war and rumor of war, famines, earthquakes, natural disasters. Then he says that Christians will be handed over for persecution. Now, literally from the first century, Christians have been persecuted. But what some people aren't aware of is the fact that in the 20th century, more Christians were persecuted in the 20th century than in every century combined previously. And I have news for you. In the 21st century, that has not changed either. That path has continued. If anything, it has escalated. Jesus warns of a great tribulation that will come and lets us know that even the sun, moon, and stars will start to give warning of his return. Then he tells us that the Son of Man will come from the eastern sky and the angels will announce it with a loud trumpet and will gather believers from the four points of the compass. We don't know for sure when that will happen, but I firmly believe that the things that we see happening in this world give indication that we're ever closer, that we're so much closer than we've ever been. The persecution of Christians around the world, the focus of struggle in Israel and in the Middle East, and all these weather events and all that are taking place that seem to be happening more rapidly, I believe his return is very soon. Jesus tells us in this text that the head of the house would have been ready for the criminal if he had known when he was coming. Jesus was reminding us that he will come at a time that we're not expecting, and since we can't know the time, we had always better be ready. With this season and all of the online shopping that we do, we see so many people taking presents literally off of people's doorsteps. Now, it's kind of interesting with technology today that we actually have people who have cameras, surveillance cameras on their homes. They even have surveillance cameras and doorbells. And we're starting to capture some of these images in that way and seeing people actually doing this and being a part of that. One story I saw recently, a guy had invented something. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it went inside the box that he would set out there. And I don't know if it shocked or if it just simply moved and vibrated when they picked it up. But it was quite humorous because he had videoed folks picking these packages up and how quickly they let go of it and hit the road, got on out. And he was trying to market that and sell that. And I can see in certain areas that would be a real help to some. I saw some other stories about things that were a little less technical that people were putting in those boxes, but I won't go into those. However, we're talking about the return of Christ, and he's warned us that he's coming back, and we have no one but ourselves to blame if we're not prepared for his return. I don't know your heart. You may look the part of being a Christian. You may have every appearance to the outside world that you're living a life for Christ. However, God knows your heart, and I pray that you truly are prepared for his return, because none of us can predict when it will happen. None of us know for sure when it will happen, but we do know that it will happen. So be wise and don't be like the guy driving around with the gas indicator light going off in your car, hoping it just won't run out of gas. The time is coming. The end is close. We need to be prepared. So we see we don't know when he will return, but secondly, we had better be prepared. Look at what Jesus says in the next few verses of this chapter. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master has put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him in an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to be clear that this passage is not about a house and slaves. It's about this world, and more specifically about us as believers. Jesus ascended to heaven and he left us, his followers, here to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Those who are genuinely living for him, showing through their life that they have a love for Christ and for others, and telling others about Christ, are being faithful stewards of the message that God has entrusted to us. God will reward those greatly with the kingdom of heaven when he returns. The faithful followers of God will receive eternal life with him, and I can't even begin to wrap my mind around how glorious that will be. However, Jesus warns us also in this text of the unfaithful servant. Here's what I don't want you to miss. I want to be sure that you get this warning. Jesus makes it clear that these are folks who know about the master. They know about the master, but they've decided he's not coming back. In other words, they have rejected him. There are some, even in this place, this evening, who have said in their heart, God is not coming back. You see, you might have heard about Jesus, but you don't believe all that stuff's for real. It's a crutch for weak people. It's a nice way to be a moral person, but hell is not real any more than heaven is real. However, Jesus says that he will come on a day when they're not ready, and they will be assigned to a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I fear that there may be some here this evening that don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord. I fear there are some that know about God but don't know him. You believe he exists, but you don't have a personal relationship with him. And yes, there is such a thing. There are others here that have never really given it serious consideration. I mean, that whole God thing is fine with me if it works for you, but just don't ask me to believe it or accept it. Here's the problem for me. I love you way too much not to tell you the truth. And I definitely would not want you to spend your eternity in what the Word of God makes very clear is a lake of fire without someone having told you the truth. Hell is real, but so is heaven. And this Messiah, this baby, came so that we wouldn't have to spend our eternity separated from God in a lake of fire. I pray that you resolve that issue in your life. I know for some that might sound harsh, but I'd rather you know the truth. Set aside the pride and ask his forgiveness. Put your life in his hands, knowing that he holds eternity in his hands. So we see we don't know when he will return, and we had better be prepared. But this evening, we're going to do something together as the body of Christ that frankly only the body of Christ can do. That frankly only the body of Christ can participate in. If you're here and you have never asked Christ into your life, you've never placed your faith in him, I want to encourage you tonight, please do not participate in this. This, the Lord's Supper, is for believers, for those who have placed their faith in Christ. I'm going to share with you in just a moment a few scripture that remind us of the severity of the reality of how absolutely sobering this should be each time we do it. But this is an ordinance that we share together because Christ died on the cross for our sin. Paul, understanding the significance of this, in 1 Corinthians 11 says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord until he returns. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. In this text, in that last time together with the disciples, Paul reminds us that Jesus took the time to explain to them what they were doing. And Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, says, listen, whenever you gather for this, this is a special thing. You're remembering what Christ did, and we do this until he returns. But when you do this, you must do so soberly. You must examine yourself. So listen, I don't want you to feel awkward or weird if you're not a believer, if you've not placed your faith in Christ. It is truly okay when that comes by simply to pass it on to the next person. Nobody here is going to judge you. Nobody's going to look down on you or anything like that. And if they do, they'll have to answer to God, so don't worry about it. He'll take care of it. Okay? But the bottom line is we want to remember the high, wonderful price our Savior paid for us. We celebrate this together because of what he did for us. We can gather like this on Christmas Eve and celebrate in this season. Jesus Christ gave everything so that we could have forgiveness. And as we celebrate in this time, Paul warns us to make sure, even as Christians, that we examine ourselves so that we don't eat or drink judgment upon ourselves. So as the deacons come and prepare to serve you this evening, I want to ask you to simply quietly pray and ask God to reveal anything in your heart that you need to lay at his feet. Any sin that God brings to mind, let me just be clear about something. If you're praying and sin comes to mind, that wasn't the devil. Because the devil's not going to remind you of your sin when you're trying to ask forgiveness for it. Okay? If it's something you haven't dealt with, let God deal with that. Let God forgive you, because he will. The Word of God promises that he will. But when you do that, trust that you can partake of this with a right heart, with a right attitude before him. We share in this time together because of what Christ did for us. So let's rejoice in that. I'm going to ask the deacons if they would come forward. And during that time, I'm just going to ask you to quietly be in prayer as they prepare to serve you. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just ask you to search our hearts right now. I don't pretend to know anybody else's heart, Lord. The truth of the matter is, until I get before you, I'm quite capable of lying to myself about my own heart. But God, I thank you that through the truth of your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit, through time with you, God, you reveal those things that I've hidden in the corner of my life. God, I confess those to you right now. I ask your forgiveness. God, help me to live for you, to love you enough that I'd be willing to love those around me the way that you do. And God, as we share in this together, I pray we'd be reminded of the wonderful price you paid for our lives, that you so freely and willingly gave. It's in your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen.